Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and bless. Amen. It's a phrase you're always saddened when we hear it. After an earthquake or a plane crash at sea, a mining disaster, a missing hiker, or remembering the rubble from 9/11 15 years ago today, when you see the panel of all the officials lined up and they say, our efforts have now switched from rescue to recovery. Which means hope for life is no longer there. Which means that although the searchers haven't given up, they've given up any hope of finding survivors. It's the last thing the family members want to hear. But truth be told, it often comes at that juncture where realistically despair has already set in. And I think that we've all seen enough news broadcasts that we know what I'm talking about. We know that feeling. Look, none of us know anybody that was in that situation or involved. We still get caught up. We empathize. We feel that pain. Wouldn't it be great if that announcement was reversed? If we saw that same panel of people, but instead of grim expressions, smiles on their faces, and they say, we're announcing that our efforts have shifted from recovery to rescue. How rare that happens. And yet, that's exactly what Christ declares to us every single day. That his efforts have changed from recovery to rescue. Turning death to life. That whenever we feel lost or abandoned, feeling the weight of the world crumbling down upon us, crushed by our own sins, there's still hope. That Christ is still searching and finding and changing recovery to rescue of us. In Luke chapter 15, that last lesson I just read, Jesus tells two stories to make that very point. Actually, there's a third story involved, the end of Luke chapter 15, but it is so powerful and so poignant, whether you call it the prodigal son or the waiting father, that it overwhelms and overshadows these other two. So I really like the fact we're just focusing on these two little snippets, these tiny parables that would be selected shorts, but in our focus they can be the feature-length film and allowed to stand and be appreciated on its own. A lost sheep, a lost coin. Both searched for, both eventually found. Both followed by jubilant celebration, and both meant to describe exactly what happens to us and the lengths our Lord and Savior goes to bring us back. Now, in most cases with this gospel lesson, preachers will focus on the one who's doing the searching and the finding. And that makes sense. It's rightly so. The shepherd, the woman, they're meant to be Jesus himself. And the context of this whole thing is what it's prefaced by the good churchly people of Jesus' day grumbling at the company he keeps. You know, he's sinners and tax collectors. You know, he hangs around with them. He eats with them even. But the irony is, from Jesus' point of view, those people are lost just as much so, even more so, than the ones they were pointing out. And that's what Jesus does. Rescue the lost. Search and rescue, always. Like the Coast Guard's motto, it says, you have to go out. You don't always have to come back. He does that. He gives his life willingly and lovingly on the cross for us, undeservedly us. There's no more important message than that. It's more than just Jesus sinners will receive. He doesn't just receive them. He goes out after them. After us. But since we know all that, at least I'm assuming we know all that already, or we wouldn't be here praising his name, I want to approach these two stories from a different perspective. Just for a moment. Not the shepherds scouring the hills or the woman turning her house upside down, but from the point of view of the things that were lost. Because while both the sheep and the coin get rescued, their individual situations are quite different. And I think in most cases, for most of us, they're situations we've been through. Sometimes we're like the lost sheep. Getting lost is our own darn fault. That's us when we wandered away, when we strayed, when we chase after false gods, when we make idols of earthly things, when we turn our backs to our Lord and his commands, when we let other things get between us. Often what's really strange about that is this kind of getting lost is gradual. It starts out with just one minor misstep, one mental lapse, one just drifting away, but it gets worse and worse with each step. Until we look around and we're not where we want to be, not where we should be, not even where we know. And despair sets in, a cold reality that we have no one to blame for this but our own selves. And there we are, shivering, hungry, cold, and alone, curling up in the darkness, hoping, knowing that even though we don't deserve it, praying that there might just be someone out there looking for us. But sometimes we're like that lost coin, too. It's not our fault that we wind up missing. That's us when we're victims, when bad things happen to us because the world is evil. When someone else has misused or abused us. When we're so alone, so neglected, that we feel abandoned by life itself. When no matter what we do or say or think, we cannot do anything about our plight. That kind of loss can be just as gradual as the other, but we're aware of it every passing moment as we drift away helplessly, falling through the cracks and assuming that no one's out there searching or caring, or if someone is, they're looking in all the wrong places. Lost because a loved one died. Lost beneath the pile of bills. Lost to addiction, depression, or compulsion. Lost, and no one's out there to help us, ask us out, give us a break. Lost and figuring no one in the world even cares, even knows. You ever been there? Well, Jesus tells these stories for you. To let you know he's coming. Not to recover your remains after you're dead, but coming to rescue you, redeem you, and give you life. Life in all its abundance. The gospel lesson that I read contains what I think is one of the most wonderful words in the entire Bible, and it uses it twice. It's that beautiful word, until. The shepherd, the woman, our Savior, they all search until what is lost is found. Not if, not hoping, but until. It will happen. He never quits. He never gives up. You can be and you will be found. Is there any better news than that? Well, yeah, there is. There's a celebration that follows every time one found. Notice how both successful search and rescue missions ends the same way with what Jesus says. He says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Let's see if there's any of those out there. And he says, just so I tell you, there is great joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just one. And that one is you. I love the way our district president, Paul Lindemann, puts it. He once told me, God plays the numbers game. He just always only stops at one. One. The one in need is always the most important one in the entire world, and we're just told in heaven as well. So whenever one is found, every single time one is found, heaven stops what it's doing and bursts out in joy. Is that cool or what? Celebration from recovery to rescue to rejoicing. Okay, now here's where I would tend to attempt to end this sermon with this, may you be that one. But that would be misleading. Almost like this is a doubter, it's your choice. Now we know better. There is no may about it. That one is you. So, if, when, you ever feel lost, helpless, abandoned, unforgivable, do not lose hope. Hang in there. Trust. God is on his way. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting.